Jerusalem, or Zion as it's often called, has a central role in God's eternal plan. But far more important is God Himself. He is our Creator, Redeemer, and Judge. This is important to understand. It's not the sacrifices that once took place in Jerusalem that save us. It's the sacrifice of Jesus that opens the door to our eternal life. This is the Wisdom Journey. Stephen called today's lesson, The Beautiful City of Zion.
I did a little search on the internet not too long ago, and I typed in 5 most famous cities in the world. You know what? The city of Zion wasn't one of them. I searched for the most popular cities in the world, and Zion wasn't among those either. It wasn't even listed among the most beautiful cities. I even searched for the most important city in the world, and Zion wasn't it. You know, I'm pretty sure the sons of Korah would be appalled. They knew Zion was the most important, the most beautiful, the most significant city in human history. In fact, so important that they wrote a song about it. It's called Psalm 48. The city of Zion in this psalm is celebrated 14 different ways, and the city also provides the context for the next 2 psalms to come. Now, Zion is the ancient name for what we call today Jerusalem. Originally, it referred to the section known as the City of David and the land upon which his son Solomon would build that magnificent temple to the glory of God eventually. The name came around to embrace the entire expanded city of Jerusalem, including that nearby ridge of hills where Jesus would die on a cross for your sins and mine. Now, let me tell you, every follower of Jesus ought to know a little bit more about the history of this land and certainly the future kingdom that will one day make Zion, Jerusalem, its capital city. Now, as Psalm 48 opens, we read here, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, Mount Zion, the city of the great King." Now, from the psalmist's perspective, so majestic is this city of Zion with its massive, thick walls surrounding it. The verse 5 tells us that Israel's enemies see it and they're intimidated. They actually panic and run away from it. So the song is communicating that although Zion has many enemies, it will ultimately survive every enemy attack. Verse 8 declares here that Zion is the city of our God, which God will establish forever. Now back here in verse 2, there's this interesting expression used to describe the beauty of Zion. Jerusalem is pictured as the hub, the central source of joy and beauty. Then we read this phrase, "On the sides of the north is the city of the great king," or as some translations read it, "in the far north." Now, what do the sides of the north mean? What's this about Jerusalem and the far north? Well, if you travel back to the ancient world, you'll discover the mythology that believed the far north was the home of the gods. This was the Olympus of the later Greek civilization. The far north had become this mystical seat of divine power. Isaiah uses this expression when he records that Satan wanted to ascend the sides of the north, Isaiah 14, verse 13, and take the throne of Creator God. Now, this doesn't mean that Isaiah believes there are other gods, and it doesn't mean that the psalmist here believes other gods existed either, as he describes Jerusalem in this manner. What the psalmist is saying, in effect, is this: anybody who attacks Jerusalem might as well be attacking the very seat of divine power. The powerful throne, the greatest throne, in fact, the only throne of the only true and living God resides there in the north. Again, just look at Mount Zion or Jerusalem. Verse 2 says, it is the joy of the whole earth on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Compare this to the powerful people in this world. The psalmist writes of them in his next psalm, Psalm 49, here at verse 11. Though they called lands by their own names, well, none of that is going to remain. That's a common practice, isn't it? Look at the things people build and then name after themselves. Some of those things are magnificent. They name their companies after their names. They name towns and cities after their last name. They're given their names. The psalmist is saying, yeah, people do that, but it's temporary. However, Zion is a land that is going to last forever. Now, Old Testament scholars believe that Psalm 48 was part of a worship event or festival, and it certainly sounds like it here in verse 12, where the Jewish people are commanded, walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels. And why are they told to walk around the city? The psalmist says, so that you may tell the next generation that this is God, he will guide us forever. See, the city of Zion is so intertwined with the plan of God that the city and the Lord are considered connected, one and the same, in a very special way. Let me say it this way. In the eyes of God, Zion is the most important city in the world. Why? Because Zion represents the promises of God, the will of God, the power of God's throne. And let me tell you, nothing or no one is going to unseat him or unsettle his plan for either Zion or his throne. So given this truth, we'd really better listen to his instructions. In fact, that's the instruction Psalm 49 begins with now. It reads, hear this, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world. This is a global command to listen to God, but it also comes with a global promise. The psalmist says here in verse 15, God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. What a great promise. That is, even Sheol, that is the place of death, even death can't conquer the citizens of Zion. This is the city of the redeemed. This is the city of citizens who've entrusted their souls into the hands of the living Lord. And you're among them. You're one of them, by the way. That is, if you've trusted God's plan of salvation. Not your plan, but his. You know, I meet a lot of people who think they got their own plan to get into heaven. They're trying to be good. They're trying to stay out of trouble, help old ladies across the street, you know, pay their taxes. And all of that's a wonderful thing. But God's plan is admitting you're a sinner. You're failing in life. You need a savior. You're drowning. You need rescuing. You need to trust the only savior, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone paid for your sins through his death. It's by faith in him that you receive forgiveness and eternal life. The author now gives a rather terrifying warning here, by the way, to the person who persists in defying God. He writes here in verse 17, for when he dies, he will carry nothing away. He will never again see light. Now, that isn't just a scary warning. It's the truth. Zion is the future city of light and life. Hell is described as a place of darkness and weeping that will never end. Well, now here in Psalm chapter 50, we come to this psalm where the Lord tells us to worship him now in the right way. Now, that doesn't mean we need to bring cattle today for sacrifices. Now that Jesus has become the Lamb of God, dying for our sins, we don't need any more sacrifices. In fact, God says here in verse 10, every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's another way of saying God doesn't need any more animals. But now here is a sacrifice you can offer. This psalm ends here in verse 23 with God encouraging us with these words, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. See, all we need to do today is thank our great God for our salvation through His Son, for our forgiveness through Christ. Offer that sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. If that isn't enough, just thank Him for the magnificent city. You're going to live one day in Zion. The Apostle John writes of Zion in Revelation chapter 21. Listen to this. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Imagine. Because of God's power and God's plan, He's going to keep His promise. He's going to bring you one day into His coming kingdom. It's going to be headquartered there in that beautiful city of Zion. You're going to live one day in the capital city of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, right there in Zion. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
What a great reminder today. Because of God's power and God's plan, He will keep His promise to you and bring you into His coming kingdom, headquartered in the beautiful city of Zion. Stephen called this lesson the beautiful city of Zion as he continues teaching through the Bible on this wisdom journey. To receive occasional text messages from Stephen, text the keyword wisdom to 833-676-4051. Again, that's 833-676-4051. And join us again next time on the Wisdom Journey.